This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
We're looking at a strictness, you know, around bedtime for your children, and also looking at whether this actually stands during holidays or you apply a certain level of relaxation as to those rules. Yeah, because it can be very tricky, you know. What happens when the school reopens? I tell you what, Zora, when you were just relaxing those rules and now the schools are back and then what happens? Yeah.
Yeah, so let us know on 0798996226 whether you are strict at all around your children's bedtime schedule. We are talking this morning around this issue, and I told you earlier on, there's a very interesting, you know, information that around evidence suggesting that children today are sleeping less than previous generations. Actually, studies have shown a decline in sleep duration for children over the past century, with the most significant decreases occurring on school days among older children and for boys. And now that is back to school, we thought we'd do a masterclass on this. So as a parent, you can be informed around this issue. We're talking to medical doctor at the Restonic Ezintsha Sleep Clinic, Dr. Alison Bentley, who's joining us on the line. Doc, how are you doing? Thank you for joining us.
Good, thanks.
Now, Doc, let's start with the basics. What is the relationship between sleep and mental health? And why is it often described as a chicken and egg situation?
Well, because I think we know, all of us have had bad nights. I mean, particularly you guys, you get up super early in the morning to do these shows.
Yes, yeah.
And so you often don't get enough sleep. And we know that if you don't get enough sleep, then you are kind of grumpy. I mean, you're not as sparky and you're not as tolerant and your communication is not as great as when you have slept well. So we know that you kind of have symptoms that could be described as kind of depressive symptoms. You don't feel like doing anything. You're just not yourself. But what we know is that what sleep is for is like to service the car, okay? And the car is your body and your brain. And it's to service the brain. And if you don't get enough sleep, you're not going to restore, repair the brain and get it ready for the next day. So if you're constantly underservicing that car, then it kind of breaks down. And sometimes the way that it breaks down faster. Sometimes the way that it breaks down is the brain just cannot cope with what is happening around you. So we call it a chicken egg situation because we know that if you have clinical depression, so you're diagnosed with clinical depression, 80% chance you're going to have insomnia with that depression as a symptom of depression. In fact, insomnia is one of the big tick boxes when you kind of go through the questionnaires for depression, sleep disorder, tick, then you probably have depression. But we also know that if you have insomnia from any reason, whether it's sleep apnea or just because you're not sleeping enough or you have restless legs or you just have insomnia, if you have insomnia from any reason, your risk of having depression is increased for the rest of your life. So future depression.
All right, Doc, there is evidence that, you know, children today are getting less sleep, you know, than in previous generations. In your view, to what do we attribute this status quo?
So it's multiple things. I mean, firstly, the children today are way overloaded compared to what we were as kids, all right, as far as homework is concerned, as far as extramural activities are concerned. And I mean, I see children, you know, as patients, and you look at their workload during the week, and you kind of go, okay, so they get home at 5, right? So they finish school, they have sports, they have art, they have culture, they have whatever. They get home at 5, they kind of have a bit of a rest, they have dinner, then they start homework. And then, you know, towards the end of the night, they're kind of going, hey, I need to catch up with my friends. And so now we have smartphones. And so the screens or the communication that they had with friends outside of real time, so outside of their school kind of days, that's pushing deep into the night. So they have less time to relax, you know, during the official day. And then the screens and the communication and social media and that need to be up to date with kind of social media is what's pushing bedtime later and later and later in our kids.
And how do I know as a parent, you know, or a teacher that my child has been getting insufficient sleep? And what connection does this have to anxiety and mental health issues?
Well, I think it's tricky because what we do know, particularly in teenagers, is that their sleep kind of moves a little bit by about an hour. So their bedtime gets an hour later and wake time gets an hour later. The usual way to find that people are not getting enough sleep is when they wake up in the morning, they're grumpy, they're tired, they're sleepy, they want to sleep a little bit more. But in teenagers, it can be tricky because they have this little shift anyway. But honestly, if your kid is waking up every morning and they're going, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, they're falling asleep on the way to school every single day, that is not normal. If on the weekends they're constantly sleeping till 11 o'clock in the morning, trying to catch up with sleep and then being tired, you know, when school starts again, being tired when they come home from school, you know, kids should not fall asleep every day at lunchtime when they come home from school in the car. I mean, you shouldn't do that. So if you have sleepy kids during the day, then that's indicating something, that something is wrong. And it could be simply that they're going to bed too late. It could be that they actually have a proper sleep disorder, so sleep apnea, restless legs, that's not so much changing the hours that they sleep, but the quality of the sleep that they get. So that would be your big kind of clue that you have a sleepy kid.
Mm. Yeah, okay. No,
also that you have a kid that's, you know, you have a kid that's going to bed at what would be the right time, and they're constantly coming out and going, I can't sleep, I can't sleep,
yes.
I can't sleep. And that's, you know, that's getting later and later and later. You know, like no kid that's at school should be going to bed at midnight. They just shouldn't. That's way too little time. That's 6 hours before they're getting up for school at 6 o'clock in the morning. So that's also a big clue that there's a problem, because they should be able to fall asleep.
Mm. Well, now that we know all of this, where should people be turning to for advice on, you know, how they can help themselves or even their children? Because sometimes you find that it's actually the adult who's also struggling with sleep and the children as well. You know, who can they contact? Mm. Where can they get information? Where do they turn to?
Okay, so I think it's really important, firstly, to decide whether the sleep problem that the child or the parent has is actually about the situation that they live in. So, for example, if I have a shift that starts at 7 o'clock in the morning and I use public transport, I'm up at 4:30. Okay, so that is a significant restriction on your sleep, and there's nothing that any doctor can do about that. Does that make sense? So we first need to figure out if that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
There does have to be a restriction on kids going to bed and what time they go to bed and what access they have to phones. Because partly what phones do is not just what they're seeing on the phones, but the light from the phones is preventing them from secreting melatonin. And melatonin is what makes you feel sleepy and gets you to fall asleep. So the screens not only are extending the bedtime because they're on the screens and they're awake, but it's also extending it because that big sleep hormone that helps you fall asleep is not being developed and not being secreted. So firstly, parents do need to be parents, and you do need to kind of say, look, this is the line, like you've got to stay off it. But you also need to give your kids chance to relax and to connect with social media. And so don't fill your children's day up so full that they have no time to do this, because they're going to do it at night, because it's part of being a kid, it's part of being a teenager, and even young kids need to have relaxation time. So kids need to get creative. They need to go and play ball. They shouldn't be maxed out with activities. So firstly, it's a lifestyle thing that you need to fix. If that is all right and kids are sleeping the right amount of hours, but they're still sleepy in the morning, then that's the time to go and tell your doctor that something is wrong. So just go into your GP and go, I think there's something wrong with my kids' sleep. They're sleeping this number of hours. They're waking up sleepy, and it's a problem during the day. You know, teachers comment on the fact that they don't concentrating properly, they're fidgeting, they're falling asleep in class. Those kind of symptoms during the day, every day, sound like attention deficit disorder, and it may be that, but it also may be that you have a sleepy kid.
Doc, before I let you go, just quickly, we're out of time, but we'd like to get your contact information if people would like to get in touch with you for further information.
So they can email me. And the email address is bentleypractice@gmail.com.
bentleypractice@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Doc. That's Dr. Alison Bentley,
okay.
A medical doctor at the Restonic Ezintsha Sleep Clinic.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.